2 Peter chapter 1. There is much more to come. The New Testament tells us continually of that which we look forward to, that which is yet to be. And it always tells us that it is beyond our comprehension, really. It is beyond our understanding. It is far too great. It is far too wonderful for us to imagine. Yet we get little insights of it. The Apostle John was given some visions of it when he was on that Isle of Patmos in exile, and when he was given the book of the Revelation, the last book of the scriptures. And yet that was too much for him. Oh, how wonderful things shall be to behold. If we're found amongst the people of God, when we enter the glory, how wonderful it shall be. We know not what it shall be like, but we know it is glorious. It is glorious. His kingdom is glorious. And I must ask each one this morning at the outset, do you have anything to look forward to? Can you say these words? There is so much more to come. The worldling continually says, and I've heard continually saying this week, we will have this, we will do this, we will do the other. And beware of this when they say this. We will build a new society. Be watchful of what they mean by that. You can bet your bottom dollar, if I can use that expression, their building a new society has nothing to do with the laws of God. It has nothing to do with the laws of nature. It has nothing to do with that which God is pleased with. Nothing whatsoever. But we're not of this world if we're in Christ Jesus. And we look to that which is to come. We look forward as Abraham, Isaac and Jacob to a heavenly land. That is steadfast and sure and certain. We look to a majestic heavenly city whose builder and maker is God. And as we look this morning again at 2 Peter chapter 1, we see that our Lord Jesus presides over a greater kingdom, a far more powerful governorship and rule belongs to him. We have that great vision given to Daniel in the Old Testament of the great kingdoms of the earth, those enormous kingdoms of the earth that came and went. And then there was the vision of the Lord Jesus and his kingdom. And that kingdom, we're told, shall never end. It shall never end. Turn with me to these words given to Mary in Luke chapter 1. Of this one who would be born of her. Verse 32. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Yes, he will come of an earthly line. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Unlike Unlike Jacob, who was but a mere man. Unlike David, who was but a mere man. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. That's the Lord God and Saviour we praise this morning. He is seated on high. He rules the nations. He is the sovereign ruler of this universe. This Saviour, who is Lord over all, and whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, who death itself could not hold. Death could not hold him. It was impossible for it to hold him. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. We prayed rightly for our leaders last week. We prayed not knowing that the Prime Minister would fall sick at this time. And yet, it would seem the answer to that prayer so far is that man's heart has been hardened to the gospel. But no thanks to God of any description yesterday. Yes, rightly, thanks to medical staff. Thanks to people who assisted him. But no mention of God Almighty. Now, when you enter any citizenship of a country or realm in this world, you must pledge allegiance to the sovereign ruler of that land. And so even more so, it shall be to a member of God's kingdom. It is with God's kingdom that indeed we must bow upon entrance. We must bow to and submit gladly to his rule, as is his right. Now, as we touched on briefly last time, those who are implored, compelled, make your calling and election sure. Such as do and can say that they are found amongst the elect of God, are assured of something greater to come. For we read in verse 11 of 2 Peter 1, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Now firstly we see, to be a child of God, a true believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, is to have entered the spiritual kingdom of God. Now that man Nicodemus that we read of in John 3, he knew what the Lord Jesus spoke of. The Jews knew this term, the kingdom of God. They knew this term, the rule of God over his people. Though the Jews over many years had been a disobedient people, yet they were the only nation on this earth in history, and there never has been a nation since, and there is not a nation now that can say, no physical nation, that can say that God was their ruler. God was the ruler of these people. And they knew this term, kingdom of God. And to be a believer, you must enter the kingdom of God. It is to be born of God. And therefore, knowing your calling and election of God. Such ones who have entered the kingdom of God, such ones who know themselves to be called of God, were given this salvation eternally. The place in that kingdom has already been assured. It has been given eternally by God himself. We read in 2 Timothy 1:9 of God Almighty that has by his sovereign choice poured out his love unto a special people. Through nothing that they have done in time, through nothing that they have done to please God in their life. Simply this, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, a set apart calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was past tense, given us in Christ before the world began. The majority of people who speak, if at all, of the redemption price paid by the Lord Jesus Christ, even today, know nothing of this truth. The Lord Jesus is a reactionary God who must react to events and depends upon man. Not so the true God and Saviour. And see how this was made known, was revealed unto those chosen from among men. For we look at verse 10 of that text in 2 Timothy 1. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest, is now brought to light, is now brought to be known. As Romans 16 says, it was a secret kept hid from the foundation of the world, but now it's been brought to be known unto the obedience of faith. Now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. Now you know that that is one of my favourite statements in the whole of the Bible. And I never cease to wonder at it. And I cannot comprehend it. He has abolished death. And has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whether people are pleased to admit it or not, the whole world who are outside of Christ are petrified of death. Petrified. But the Lord Jesus has abolished death and brought immortality to light in the gospel. Because the Lord Jesus is risen from the dead, justifying them before God, justifying his people, making them righteous in God's sight, having borne the very wrath of God for his people's sin at the cross. The word of God declares to such who have by God's grace, by new birth, by the Spirit of God, have been made alive. He says to such who have entered the kingdom of God. He says to such as know the call of grace to believe upon the Saviour, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. It's abolished. Secondly, to know that you are called of God is to know that this Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Lord of all, has come and taken up residence upon the throne of your hearts. He has come and taken up residence. He, the conquering Lord, has come and taken up residence. He does not knock at the door of any heart and say, pretty please, I'm pleading, let me in. He is the sovereign Lord God who can break into the heart of anyone he pleases. And that's what he does. Bending your will to his. Bending each one of his people from being a sheep going aside. Everyone to his own way. To be caused to call upon his name. And to be saved. It's all of God. And it is, as God's word says, they shall be willing in the day of thy power. People say, oh, you people who believe in sovereign grace, God just wants a bunch of robots. No. God makes himself irresistible to his people. His love is made irresistible. It truly is a love story, the greatest love story there ever was. Christ Jesus and his elect. The power of the Almighty, which cannot be resisted. Divine power, which the apostle has already said here in this portion. Divine power coming upon them. Divine power of the Almighty Divine, of the Almighty God, which cannot be resisted. Invades the heart of those who must be saved. It invades the heart, causing that one to be born again. And not one single one of those who Christ comes and invades the heart of says, "Be gone to him." For only then can anyone see the rule of God, see the kingdom of God, see the spiritual kingdom. The spiritual kingdom, which is life eternal through the risen Saviour Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Plain and simple. And so I ask, Have you truly? Have you known the Saviour entering as of right into your heart? I don't ask you, do you know when he did? He came by his Spirit. And he comes by his Spirit like the wind. And we cannot see where it comes from and where it goes. But we know and see the effect. As indeed Hebrews 11 tells us, faith is the evidence of the things not seen. But I do ask, has the Lord Jesus come into your heart? I don't ask, have you asked him into your heart? I ask, has he come into your heart? Has he come into your heart, setting up his own victorious standard? You know, when a victorious army comes and they invade a land, or you know, it's like the first ones on the moon. They had to put their flag. They had to put their flag, didn't they? To say, well, we made it. We made it there. Well, the Lord Jesus comes and he sets his standard. And he sets his standard high. Has he come? Has he come to your heart? Setting up his own victorious standard. His banner. Has he? Can you say of this Jesus personally that he has given you entrance into his kingdom? To say, he has brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Can you say that? Do you know the love of Christ constraining you? Come! Do you know that love constraining you even now? Come unto me. Oh, you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you caused? Are you drawn of God's grace and mercy to have him as your Lord? For if you do not know the call to believe, to enter the kingdom of God, if you know nothing of what Jesus said, the kingdom is within you, then you will not be permitted to enter into heaven itself. For thirdly, see, a true child of God, a true child of God, having been born again and submitted to the rule of God within, in repentance and faith, has a hope. A living hope. A hope beyond this present world, beyond this present life. That which is yet to be realized. Yet to be experienced. There's much more to come. There's so much more to come. It's called the inheritance of the saints in glory. It's reserved for you who are his. For all who look by faith to the Saviour, there is a kingdom which is yet to be. Yes, God's people have entered the kingdom of God spiritually, but there is a kingdom which is yet to be. We're told this. These are believers who are addressed here by the Apostle Peter. For so an entrance will be supplied or added to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. The heavenly kingdom of God. Hebrews 12:28 promises all who know themselves to have been called unto salvation in Christ Jesus. You are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. It's speaking of that which is yet to be. Cannot be shaken. It is immovable. It is immutable, as surely as God is immutable, unchanging, indestructible. For you who know your calling from God in Christ, who know that you are found amongst the elect of God, an entrance sure and certain into the everlasting kingdom of God shall be granted to you. As the word of God says here, it shall be ministered. It means it shall be added to you who believe. And so as we draw to a close, we ask the important question. Where is your citizenship found? Where is your citizenship found? Here below, or above, in the perpetual, never-ending kingdom of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ? I say again these words because the apostle says it's good to be reminded of them. He says in verse 12, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. We see there the apostle's great dedication to the gospel. He could not but challenge people with these things. Just as the apostle Paul says, woe is me if I preach not Christ. Continually, always, ever. I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, there may be some amongst the people who gather around the word of God who know these things. Some who know these things merely intellectually. And then it must be brought to know them as of experience. Yes, there are those who know them as of experience. And they must be built up in their faith. But there are those who have never heard that call, who know nothing of this call, and they must be brought to know it. No preacher of the word of God, no preacher of the gospel is to ever in any sermon, ever, woe if it is to ever presume that everyone gathered is born again. Not at all. I don't make any boasting, but I know I make that my aim always, to never presume upon anything, for only God searches the hearts. And so I remind each one, make your calling and election sure. Have you known the call of God in grace, in Christ Jesus? Do you know yourself loved of God with an everlasting love? If you do, you will know the calling. You will know his drawing. That loving kindness, that irresistible grace, drawing you unto himself. The two go hand in hand. The Lord Jesus, who has opened the kingdom by his death and resurrection, will one day have all humanity gathered before him. All humanity. Everyone that's ever lived, and everyone who's living at his coming. Not a single one will be missing. Not a single one will be late for that meeting. And as they are all gathered before him, we are told by the Master, those on his right, he will say to them, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He shall give and he shall grant and he shall add an entrance abundantly into that everlasting kingdom. To enjoy God forever. In that kingdom where we're told there shall be no need of the sun nor the moon, for God shall be their light. There shall be no more tears, for God shall wipe the tears from their eyes. But be warned. To those on the left he will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. I never knew you from all eternity. There is so much more to come for those who are in Christ. Do you have this hope?